The Oxford Sparks Podcast.
Episode 11, Learning.
Part 3.
Well, we don't really see bacteria using hydrogen and producing hydrogen, but it's actually happening all around us because there are some bacteria that release hydrogen as a waste product to get rid of excess electrons from their cells. And there are other bacteria that use that hydrogen as a very high energy food source. And that's happening inside our own stomachs. So as we ferment food that we eat, we have bacteria that are able to produce hydrogen as a waste product. And we have other bacteria in our stomachs, like E. coli, the very common bacteria that we've heard of that can cause stomach upsets. E. coli is one of the bacteria that's able to use hydrogen as an energy source. Hydrogen is also cycled in the same sort of ways in the soil and in water, but we never ever see bubbles of hydrogen escaping because it's such a good energy source that there's always some organism ready to take up that hydrogen before it can escape to the atmosphere. I'm Kylie Vincent. I run a research group in the chemistry department at the University of Oxford, and I'm in the area of inorganic chemistry, but particularly interested in biological inorganic chemistry, where we're learning from how nature does chemistry. My group are interested in how chemistry happens inside cells in biological systems, because all cells are really just chemical factories. Chemicals come in, nutrients come into the cells, they're converted into chemicals that are used to build the cells, that are used to send signals to other cells and to protect the cells from invasion and all sorts of other applications. And so cells are very, very good at doing all sorts of complex chemistry, making all sorts of molecules. And many of these are molecules that we as chemists have trouble copying, have trouble making ourselves. And one of the interests in my group is in bacteria that live on hydrogen. So they take in hydrogen as an energy source and they use that hydrogen to drive everything that's happening inside their cells. So my group are particularly interested in bacteria that live on hydrogen as their source of nutrients or energy. So they take up hydrogen that's present in trace amounts in their environment and they use that to power everything going on inside their cells. And we're interested in whether we can learn from how they do that, because hydrogen is really promising as a clean fuel for the future, but we chemists still don't have really efficient ways of making hydrogen or using hydrogen as a fuel, and so we have a lot to learn from how bacteria are able to do that.
Fuel cells combine hydrogen and oxygen to produce electricity, heat, and water. Man-made fuel cells currently use expensive metals such as platinum, but Kylie hopes to learn from natural fuel cells, which use the common metals nickel and iron.
What we know so far about how bacteria are able to use hydrogen for energy is that they use very big molecules called enzymes to take up the hydrogen and split it to release the energy, release electrons and positively charged hydrogen atoms called protons from the hydrogen. And they do that using a metal centre built from nickel and iron. So one atom of nickel and one atom of iron inside this very complicated molecule, this enzyme molecule. And what we are still trying to learn about is how the hydrogen actually is split at this centre. So in my group, we've developed approaches that use infrared light to be able to look inside these very big enzyme molecules and try to understand what happens when the hydrogen is split. What we don't know is the exact details of how hydrogen first comes in and interacts with these two metal centres. We know some of the intermediate steps once hydrogen has already been split apart into two hydrogen atoms on this site. But we're still trying to learn the details of where the electrons go and where the hydrogen, the positively charged hydrogen protons go as the hydrogen is split at this centre. So there's a lot of steps we don't know and we're trying to fill in the gaps. And so we're using infrared spectroscopy to give us snapshots of the chemistry happening at this nickel and iron centre inside the enzymes to try to understand some of the details. And the idea is that if we can understand what happens inside the enzymes, we provide information to chemists who can then try and build much simpler nickel and iron centres that model the chemistry that's happening inside the enzymes but don't need so much of the extra framework that nature uses to support these metals, so that we can make much simpler catalysts for splitting hydrogen apart that will be useful for fuel cells and also for the production of hydrogen as a fuel. the infrastructure needed for using hydrogen is already starting to be in place, but we don't yet have very clean ways of producing hydrogen. So there's many pieces to this puzzle that all need to be put together. If we're able to provide enough information from learning about the biological use of hydrogen, we hope that that will lead chemists to make new cheap catalysts based on nickel and iron that can just slot into that infrastructure, so that instead of having to have a fuel cell based on very expensive platinum in your car, you could have a fuel cell based on cheap metals like nickel and iron in your car instead. So the infrastructure around the refueling stations can still be the same. The infrastructure as far as the fuel cells in the cars can be the same. We just replace these very expensive metals with cheaper metals. Trying to move to renewable fuels is a multi-dimensional problem because there are many, many aspects in terms of producing the fuel, storing the fuel, transporting the fuel, using the fuel. And so it's important that developments are going on in parallel in all of those sorts of areas. And so we hope that new catalysts that might arise out of the what we learned from the bacterial systems will be able to just slot into existing hydrogen infrastructure.
Kylie and her group are also investigating using hydrogen to drive the production of very complex chemicals.
In this case, we're actually using the enzymes from bacteria, but we're sort of reconfiguring the chemical factories from cells, if you like, reconfiguring the machinery from the way that nature builds chemicals inside cells, to take a cascade of different enzymes, often from different bacteria, to be able to do a very complicated chemical reaction, but driven by hydrogen gas. So it's a very clean way of doing chemistry, because the two hydrogen atoms from the hydrogen gas end up incorporated into the complicated chemical that you're making at the end. And it's a way of making very selective chemicals that you might need in the pharmaceutical industry, where you want a very, very specialized drug molecule produced in very, very pure form without any contaminants or waste products there. So using enzymes to make those kind of chemicals gives you a way of doing very clean chemistry. And in this case, we are actually using the enzymes rather than just taking inspiration from nature. We're actually building new mini chemical factories on a nano scale, but for using enzymes from different organisms that we put together on a carbon bead.
One challenge in the pharmaceutical industry is producing drug molecules with the appropriate chirality. Chirality is a term used to explain the difference between two molecules which are identical mirror images of each other, much like our own left and right hands. If you place your palms together, you'll see your hands mirror each other. But if you place your hands on top of each other, they just don't line up. Try it.
Cells in nature are very, very good at making specific molecules without the mirror image partner. So one of the ways that we are looking to use enzymes is to make those chiral molecules very selectively with a little cascade of enzymes attached onto carbon beads. The way that we assemble these beads for doing chemistry is that we start with a series of enzymes that are produced by genetically modified bacteria that are able to express the enzymes to very high levels. We then break the bacterial cells open to release the enzymes, and we attach those onto little carbon beads. And we'll typically have three or four different enzymes attached onto the beads. And the first enzyme is able to split apart hydrogen, and then the rest of the cascade of enzymes attaches those hydrogen atoms onto a chemical that where we're trying to do some very selective step. And that's what introduces this special mirror image center, this special chiral center into the molecule. And it's often quite difficult to do that using conventional chemical routes, but with the cascade of enzymes doing that chemistry, it's possible to make very, very selective molecules. And we've shown that we can make often 98% pure products in a very simple one-step reaction in that sort of way. And we're now working with some of the big pharmaceutical companies to see if they're interested in this and whether this chemistry really works for making some of the drug molecules that they're interested in.
Trying to separate chiral molecules using conventional chemistry can be quite tricky.
At the moment, this chemistry is all done in a very, very small scale. So we work in little 1 mil plastic tubes in the lab. And so there's a lot of work needed to scale all of this up. And we're just starting a big project to see whether we can make the enzymes in large enough quantities. So that means that we have to scale up the growth of the cells to be able to produce many more of the bacterial cells to split open to produce the enzymes. We have to see whether we can assemble these carbon beads with the enzymes on in much larger scale, and then whether we can do these enzyme reactions in much larger vessels, much larger beakers, if you like, than the little plastic tubes that we're using at the moment, and whether we still get the same level of purity of the products, and whether we are able to get the chemistry to still work on a much larger scale. So that's the challenge at the moment, to take this from something that we can prove works in the lab through to something that might really be ready to apply in industrial processes.
Kylie thinks that chemists will continue to learn from nature in the future.
So I think what I can see in the future is a range of approaches, some of which where we've taken ideas from the way nature does chemistry, but chemists have been able to then build systems that copy that, taking inspiration from nature but perhaps simplifying it. And there'll be other cases where we realise that actually nature is so clever and the chemistry going on inside biological cells is done so well that it's worth actually exploiting components from biological cells, often enzymes from bacteria, to be able to do chemistry for us, because that chemistry is just done so cleverly inside biological systems that it's worth taking advantage of that rather than trying to copy it.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Lou Sumner. This podcast was produced for the University of Oxford by Steve Pritchard. For more fascinating science, visit www.oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk.